fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We continue to talk about the call to mercy in this Jubilee Year of Mercy. I've been talking about it all week long. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can just listen to them on your computer, download them, and listen to them on your iPod, whenever it's convenient. Before I get started, I just want to remind you some upcoming events. I want to give a shout out to different brothers around the country. There's men's conferences coming up over the next couple of months that I think you'd be very interested in if you happen to be in this region of the country. First, on February 27th, I'll be in Middletown, New Jersey for the Catholic Men for Jesus Conference at St. Mary Mother of God Church. They got a great lineup on the day. Bishop David O'Connell will be there. Brian Gale, who's a dynamic entrepreneur, is going to share his story. Quarterback Kellen Clemens played for the Jets and the Chargers. He'll be there. I'm looking forward. I'd go to it myself, just loaded. I'm going to give a few talks on the day as well. Hope you can join us. On March 18th, the Men's Morning of Spirituality crew down in Memphis are going to be hosting their annual conference at the Catholic Church of the Incarnation. The conference is free. It's going to be a lot of fun because the Crossing the Goal team of Brian Patrick of News Nightly on EWTN, Curtis Martin, the founder and really president leader of FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Daniel Bramowitz, and myself, we're all going to be there for that conference. EWTN will be there filming it for production. They're going to be showing it later on the network. You can come to that. That's March 19th. On April 15th here in Ann Arbor, Renewal Ministries is going to host its annual gathering. For years, the gathering was mainly focused on our friends of the ministry who are supporters and those committed to the ministry. This year, we felt like in the Year of Mercy, we'd like to extend the gathering to anybody who'd like to come. Our special guest this year will be Janet Bankovic. Again, that's April 15th through the 17th. It'll be Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, all our team of country coordinators from around the country, and those who've been traveling around the world. Will have also our young adult team, our ID916 crew, Peter Burek and the team there. Have workshops and lots of time for worship and good fellowship, adoration. It's a great weekend together every year. It's very enriching. So that's April 15th to the 17th. You can find out information there by just going to renewalministries.net. And finally, men's conference at Holy Family Catholic Church in Orlando on April 23rd. It's called Rise Up Conference. Danny Abramowitz will be there, and Father Jeremiah Payne, a former Assemblies of God evangelist, is now a Catholic priest. So it ought to be interesting hearing what he has to say about his conversion. So I hope you can be there, friends. If you do come, I'd love to meet you. So if you see me at a conference and you'd like to say hello, go ahead and grab me. I really would like to meet you, and thank you for all the support you give to this program. Anyway, God bless you. Now, off to continue to talk about Ephesians, Paul's teaching on mercy. At the end of the section I've been looking at all week on chapter 2, Paul ended yesterday where Paul was describing what we've been given, right? We've been brought from death to life together with Christ. So the Father's plan is to unite us to Jesus. And everything that belongs to Jesus, we share in. And what belongs to Jesus? The recreation, the new creation, the new humanity. Jesus has brought fallen human nature that was destined to die, be separated from God. He brought it from death to life, and literally something entirely new, the new humanity glorified. Our future, friends, what God has in store for us is present now in the person of Jesus. And when we're baptized and we're following Christ and we repented of our sins and we're following him, we're united to him right now in the Spirit because he pours out his Holy Spirit in us in baptism, in confirmation. And so what God's after, the Bible talks about it as one new man. Jesus is the head of a whole new body, a united community, united together, filled with the life and the gifts of the body. So even now, as I ended the program yesterday, we have a foretaste of the good things to come, the scripture says, that are already present in Jesus. He gives us his gifts. He touches our lives. And next week, I hope to be able to talk a little bit about what does it mean concretely that Jesus pours out his gifts on us and what can that look like. But here he says in verse 7, he's done all this that in the coming ages, that is really all eternity, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. The word grace appears like 3-4 times here in this short section. Grace means God's gift. And Paul underlines, you don't save yourself. I don't save myself. This is something that's important for us to understand. My good works, my being a good guy, doesn't save me. because there's a lot of people, and I used to think this way, kind of about myself before I got serious about God, by God's mercy, I kind of woke up. There's a time in my life I just kind of concluded that, hey, just, you know, if you're a good guy, you're going to heaven. And I don't have to get religious. I don't even have to go to church to be a good guy. I just have to be nice to people and, you know, kind of mind my own business and not give anybody too hard of a time, and everything's going to be okay. And that's a common attitude in the world, and that's insanity. Remember what Paul said here at the beginning of this passage. You he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. This is the human condition. Nobody is exempt from this. Nobody is good. Remember, Jesus was asked about what is good, and Jesus said, only God is good. Only God is good. That's a sobering but crystal clear understanding of reality. God is goodness, truth, and beauty itself. So when a human being who's fallen stands up and says, I don't need it because I'm good in myself, that's all I need. And if there's a heaven, I'm going there because I'm good. That's really crazy. And it's a very dangerous place to be in spiritually. I'm not saying, and Jesus certainly isn't saying, that we need to go about our life, you know, pounding our chest in a state of depression and constant discouragement, saying, I'm just a bad person. That's not what he's talking about. I'm infinitely valuable, as a matter of fact. But my infinite value comes from the fact that I'm God's idea, that God made me, that my life is worth something, not because I hit the lotto or I've reached all of my goals in this world. I'm valuable because God sent his son to die for me. I'm valuable in God's eyes. That's the only valuation that matters, friends. That's who we are. So Paul reminds us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. My works cannot bring this reality about. Now, as Father Conte La Mesa was wont to say, the Pope's preacher, he said, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by this merciful act of God giving us his beloved Son, who died and shed his blood for us, cleanses us of our sin, rises from death, and gives us the possibility of living with him an indestructible life forever in all eternity, basking in God's glory. That's how we're saved. Repenting and turning to God and being baptized. That's how we're saved. But he says we can't be saved by our works, but we can't be saved apart from our works. It's an important thing to understand. Because faith, which is radical response to Jesus, which is absolutely necessary, the prompting of the Spirit is helping make that possible in us. Faith expresses itself in love, deeds of love. Real surrender to Jesus is following in Jesus' footsteps. If I say one thing with my mouth, but I don't live it out, I'm a hypocrite. It's not real, right? I'm a double-minded man. So Paul is reminding us of the fundamental key here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing, it is the gift of God. In this year of mercy, friends, please take time with this whole passage. It's just a matter of, you know, 10 verses at the end of this. And pray it over and over and over again. Take it with you. Take your Bible with you to adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. Go to find a Blessed Sacrament chapel and sit there for an hour. Sit for 2 hours and read it and say, Holy Spirit, please open my mind and heart to this revelation. Help me see who I am. Help me see who God is. Help me understand the true condition of my life. And most of all, help me value what is truly valuable. Please recalibrate my mind and heart in such a way that I would grasp this astounding gift, these unsearchable riches, as St. Paul calls them. Friends, I think it's not an exaggeration to say, across the country and across the world, there's a lot of insane and foolish and futile valuations going on. The enemy is holding out the pearl in this world, and just it just feels like multitudes of people are pursuing it. And it's like the enemy's endgame is at work in attacking the church, weakening the church, not only in attacking leadership or revealing the weaknesses of leadership, but he's attacking the family at such an intense level. And he's undermining God's plan and purpose, and he's breaking down fidelity in marriage. He's breaking down that sacrificial love of mom and dad, which is imperfect. I know it because I experienced it in my own life, but that sacrificial love of mom and dad laying down their lives, honoring God, loving God together, and raising their children in the fear of the Lord, loving them with God's loving kindness and mercy, disciplining them when they need to, raising them in the way they need to. But here's the devil. He's just blowing up the family. And he's doing it through, one of the big things he's doing it through is the sexual revolution, the gigantic lie, you know, that sex really isn't of any great significance. It's not a sacrament. It's not a great mystery. It's whatever you want it to be. It's a game. And boy, you better, if you want to be happy in this world, you better not put any limits on yourself. You better go for it. Because if you're not going for it, you're not living, right? That's what the world is selling. And every single show, it seems like, almost on television, all the cable television programs, all the things that are out there that people are watching, they all have the same theme over and over again. And putting before our eyes the lie that this is how you should live and it's absolutely harmless, that no one's going to get hurt. Friends, you know, I don't have to go through the litany of all the fallout and the consequences of all that. But at the end of the day, what the devil's after in the breakdown of the family and just beating up the family is he wants direct access to unprotected children. That's what he wants. He wants to counter-evangelize. He wants to enslave these kids at a very young age. That's why, you know, these wonderful creations we make, like an iPhone or, you know, a cell phone. Why does pornography have to be the biggest selling thing on cell phones? And why is it made so accessible to a five-year-old could do it almost, or an eight-year-old with a matter of the click of a couple of buttons finds himself thrown into, or herself thrown into, a world of just staggering perversions, almost irresistible? The enemy wants to enslave the human race. All the time we're dancing around with all of our money and all our creation, and aren't we great? Aren't we fantastic? And we're excited about the things that pass. We celebrate the things that don't matter. A telephone, for heaven's sakes. We line up for blocks to get a new telephone as if it adds a single thing to my life. Yet we won't line up and wait 2 minutes to get into a church. We get frustrated if a pastor, if a priest preaches for more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes in a homily, we get mad at him. But I tell you what, we'll stand outside a football stadium for hours. We'll stand outside a rock concert for hours. We'll stand up in a gigantic line for a goofy telephone. We're rolling the dice the wrong way, friends. Jesus is coming and Paul is helping us. And this is the prayer we need to pray. Lord, help me value what's truly valuable. As St. Francis said, God, show me who are you and who am I? Friends, get quiet. Let that be your prayer and watch Jesus rock your world and open your heart to the truth. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.